You're absolutely right again. Just as you always are. Be quiet for a second. There's something going on here. Those men aren't as scared as they should be.
As he spoke, I glimpsed a face peeking over the parapet. A moment later, the White Crow plummeted out of the night. It knocked the leather helmet off the soldier. I yelled,
"Everybody wake up! They're about to pull something!"
Goblin had started muttering already. He was doing something odd with his fingers. Men jumped up atop the little fort. Each had something in hand ready to throw. A half dozen fireballs squirted their way without my approval. One grenadier went down, but not before he launched his missile. Glass, I saw. Same type one I had used to make firebombs years ago. We still had a few of those, too. But throwing firebombs at us out here would be pointless. We were too far away to be reached.
"Aim low!"
I yelled.
"Shadows coming!"
That was not a shout that had been heard for an age, but it was one the veterans remembered and could respond to without ever thinking. Goblin was already wobbling across the slope in as near a sprint as his old bones could manage, still muttering and wiggling his fingers. Pink sparks leaped between his fingers and slithered around amongst his few remaining hairs. He grabbed a skinny little bamboo pole from one of the men. It had been painted with black stripes, meaning that its dedicated purpose was use against shadows. Fireballs flew. Some peppered the fortress, some dove after the shadows that spilled out of the breaking glass containers. Suvrin began whimpering behind me. I told him, "Don't run! They'll get you for sure. They love a fleeing victim." There was a lot of screaming inside the fortress. Fireballs streaking through had found human targets. In their way, the fireballs were almost as bad as the killing shadows. One of my men began shrieking when a shadow found him. But he was the only one. Goblin's spell helped some. The quick use of fireballs helped more. Goblin began loosing fireballs from the pole he had snagged, but sent them racing northward instead of toward the stubborn little fort. He quit after only a few tries. He came back to me.
"They've done their job, those brave boys in there. They got their warning away."
He was as sour as a lemon slice under the tongue. "So I take it Soulcatcher didn't die when she hit the water." I had heard the news from Taglios, only up to the part where the Protector's carpet had fallen apart in midair, with her streaking along 400 feet above the river. The break coming at that point had not been because anyone was trying to make things particularly dramatic. It was just because there was too much going on to have a lot of time left for catching up, especially where Mergen was concerned. Mergen seemed to be employed full-time easing Sara's frights and concerns.
"She was one of the 10 who were taken, Sleepy. Those people don't hurt easy. Hell, she survived having her head cut off. She carried it around in a box for about 15 years.
I grunted. Sometimes it was hard to remember that Soulcatcher was more than just an unpleasant, distant senior official. "They likely have any more surprises in there?" I meant the question for Suvrin, but Goblin answered.
"If they did, they would have used them. You thinking about going in after?"